appreciate everyone's prayers and concerns during this week, and their congratulations as well. And as I'm receiving those congratulations, I think about our topic for this morning, and I think about the things that the Bible has to say about our life and various things along those lines. I want to talk a little bit, oddly enough, about death this morning. How do you feel about death? What do you think of death? Not something that we often spend a lot of time talking about. And perhaps we should talk about it more so that we have a better understanding of it and look at what the Scriptures have to say about it more so that we can have a proper perspective on death. We're going to look this morning at some of the paradoxes of death. And, of course, the paradox is when something seems to be two opposite things at the same time. Two things that should not belong together, and yet they do. And so we're going to look at some of those this morning. And occasionally, when we do mention death, and of course we have a lot of phrases about death, you'll hear teenagers, well, used to, I don't know if they say things like this anymore, they did when I was young, I'm dying to go to this or that. And we have things, all kinds, probably more than any other single thing, we have other phrases that we use to describe death so that we won't have to say death or die or dying. We talk about someone passed away. We talk about someone fell asleep. Or we talk about, we have all of these different phrases. Some of them maybe not quite so kindly. Maybe somebody talks about someone or some animal that kicked the bucket. I'm not sure what kicking a bucket has to do, how that came to be a terminology to mean that someone died. I don't know. But there are things that we just avoid saying death. We avoid saying died as much as we possibly can. We talk about someone moved on or different things. And sometimes if we are going to speak of death, it will be with humor. Because we're uncomfortable talking about death, we will use humor to cover that. Some people cover their nervousness, their times when they're ill at ease, they'll use humor to cover that up. And so you might hear occasionally a joke about death. We hear, of course, a lot of jokes about someone meeting St. Peter at the pearly gates. But we often hear jokes about death. And of course, people are very careful many times of when they tell those jokes and to whom, because if you say something humorous about death to someone who's recently lost a loved one, there's another one of those phrases, someone who's had a loved one die, we're afraid we may hurt their feelings or something, so we're scared to do it then, but at the same time we're very nervous and we don't know what to say. I remember sitting with family after the death of one of my relatives and noticing how many of the phrases and the things that we said alluded to death. And not, we weren't talking about the death of that family member, just the things that we said in everyday conversation that had something about death or dying in them. But one of the reasons I think about this today, of course, is Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 1. Ecclesiastes is one of the strangest books in the Bible. And a lot of people have struggled with understanding it. There are certainly some things in it that are a little out of the ordinary for us. And this is one of those verses. In this verse, the writer records that the day of one's death is better than the day of one's birth. Now that seems odd to us. We congratulate people when they have a baby. As many have congratulated me today on having a baby born into the family. We wouldn't think about congratulating someone when their loved one died. And yet, God says that the day of death is better than the day of birth. Now, that's not always true. But under some circumstances, it certainly can be. If we're Christians, then death is not something that is the worst thing that could happen to us. Job says that man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. When you're born into this world, you're going to face trouble. And a lot of trouble. Life's going to be full of it. Now, it may range anywhere from when you're a little kid and you didn't get the chicken nuggets or the hamburger that you want or something like that, all the way up to, you know, when you lose a job or when the doctor tells you have some cancer or some other disease that you're going, you know, and all kinds of trouble in your life. Maybe family trouble. It may be physical trouble. All kinds of things. But what God wants us to understand is that there is a world where there isn't any trouble. And if we live our lives as Christians in this world full of trouble, then the day of death is not the worst day of our lives. It doesn't have to be, because we'll be moving on to a world where all of the troubles that have plagued us in this life won't exist anymore. Can you imagine trying to explain to an unborn child what it's like to come into this world? And of course, you don't want to depress that poor little unborn baby, so you point out the good things. And so you tell the baby, you know what, when you're born, and wait a minute, what's born? Well, you know, you're going to have to go through that passageway right there. And after you go through that passageway right there, you'll come out into another world. And the baby says, I like the world where I am. It's a good world. Everything's wonderful here. It's warm and it's just perfect. I'm comfy here. I'm snug and just nothing wrong here. And yeah, but when you're born, you're going to go through that passageway there and you're going to come out into a world that's full of light. Light? What is light? I like it here. I like it like this. I don't need light. This is wonderful here where I am. And you say, well, no, but you've got to understand. If you go out there in that world, there's wonderful things. There's flowers and trees. And the baby said, what's a flower? What's a tree? What's that got to do with it? I'm happy here. I'm right here. I can hear my mama's heartbeat. And, you know, I'm getting fed and everything. Oh, but, you know, there's wonderful things out there. You'll get to eat lots of different kinds of food. And I'm happy with what I've got. Everything's fine. And he said, no, but you know, you're going to be born and you're going to go through that passageway right there. And you're going to go into a different world. And they said, oh, no, not me. I don't want to go there. I like where I am. I don't want anything to change. And imagine, if you will, an angel coming to us and trying to explain what heaven's going to be like to us. And the angel says, you know, when you after you die, and we say, wait a minute, I don't want to die. Well, you know, but if you die, when you go through that, you go through that grave right there, then on the other side of that grave, there's going to be a wonderful world. And the angel begins to describe this wonderful world that's full of all sorts of wonderful things. And there's the tree of life. And there are cherubim and seraphim, and we said, what's cherubim and seraphim? What are those? I've never seen one of those. I'm happy here. Got flowers and trees and puppy dogs and kitty cats. It's wonderful here. I like it here. And so when the time comes, we said, no, I don't want to go. I don't want to go. But you know that little baby that's born? After that little baby's born and is snuggling in mommy's arms and being held close and gets the chance to nurse and to eat and then as they grow and they get to experience all the wonderful things that children get to experience and how exciting it is to see those little children see things for the first time. The first time they go to a zoo and see some kind of animal that they've never seen before. Or the first time they even, you know, just watch an ant crawl across the ground or something. And they get so excited about that. And then they wouldn't go back and go back to the way it was before for anything. But we're just like that unborn child. God tells us that we're going to have to go through that grave in order to get to heaven. We don't want to go. We're scared. I remember how awkward, when you talking about death and things, how awkward things can be. A few years ago, I don't know how many of you may remember when we were supporting Jimmy G and his wife Trina, and she was expecting twins, in fact, and I got an email that she had delivered, but I didn't read the whole email, and I just saw a little bit about I quickly sent them a little note, congratulations, and I didn't finish reading that one of the children had been born fine, but the other one had some severe complications and a couple days later wound up dying. But I hadn't read all of that. So I stuck my foot in my mouth, I guess you could say, by congratulating too soon about something like that. You know, we do feel so awkward about death and about the problems that we have and the troubles that there are. And yet, the fact of the matter is that in many ways that child that died in birth or shortly thereafter in many ways was better off than the one that didn't. Because for that little one that died at that early age, everything's fine now. No more worries, no more cares, no more problems. That other little one that survived now is growing up. I think about 12 years old now. But he's going to have to make some tough decisions about how he's going to live his life. And whether he'll get the chance to see his brother again. He'll have to do the right things and live the right kind of way in order to get there. Look at just briefly some of these paradoxes. Death is an end, but it's also a beginning. It's the end of this physical, earthly life, but it's the beginning of our spiritual, heavenly life if we're Christians. It's the beginning of that life. Death is a separation, but it's also a reunion. For those of us who are Christians and for those who have Christian family members, who sometimes, you know, of course, one will go first, sometimes another. But even though we'll be separated from this world and from this life and from our family members here, that death represents the opportunity to be reunited with God and with our family members who have gone on before us. And of course, these things apply specifically to those who are Christians. We mentioned earlier that death is not the worst thing that can happen to you. Dying in a lost condition, that's the worst thing that can happen to you on this earth. Because that leaves you in a situation where you're going to be eternally separated from God. But for the Christian, Paul writes about the resurrection and he says to the Christians, I don't want you to mourn like those that don't have hope. Oh, of course it's sad when we have a loved one that dies. We miss them. But we shouldn't mourn like those who are of the impression that they're never going to see those loved ones again. The saddest of funerals, of course, are those funerals for those who are not Christians. My grandfather's funeral was probably, from a personal standpoint, the hardest one I have ever seen. Because he had shunned religion, he had shunned Christianity throughout his entire life. And he rejected it. And that was a sad situation. Because I know that the only way I'll ever see him again is if I don't live right. And I don't want to see him under those circumstances. So, even though it is a separation, it can also be a reunion on the other side. And even though it's a departure, it's also an arrival. One of the oddest things about death is that even though death is quite certain, it is also very unpredictable. It never ceases to amaze me how many people the doctors say, well, they got a month to live. And a year later, they're still doing fine. Other people, I know of one lady had gone to the doctor, just gotten a physical, had a good report. You're as healthy as a horse. She went out to the parking lot, sat down in the car, and died right there in the parking lot. It's unpredictable. It's certain we're going to die. If Jesus doesn't return, and you know, there's of course will be some who don't die because Jesus returns. But for the rest of us, you had those two way back when. You had Enoch and Elijah. They didn't have to face death. But everybody else, before and since, has had to go through that. At least once. Hopefully only once is all we have to go through that. Because it's not a pleasant experience. There is the fear of the unknown there. And because of that, death is very dreaded. Very much feared by most people. And yet at the same time, for the Christian, death can be something that's anticipated, something that's looked forward to. Not in a deranged, suicidal kind of way. Not like that. Not that we want to kill ourselves to get to death sooner. Not like that. But knowing what Paul said, that as long as I'm here in the body, I am apart from Christ. But if I die and I am apart from my body, then I can go to be at home with the Lord. And that ought to be something that we all look forward to, going to be with Jesus. And even though death, as was read in the scripture reading a few moments ago, is our enemy, And that's why we don't look forward to death in some sort of, you know, like we're going to bring it on ourselves or something. Because death is an enemy. Death has been an enemy from the beginning. Because death came through sin. I often hear people say, well, the Lord took this person or that person. And it is true that the Bible does speak of God punishing certain people with death. Some of the plagues of Egypt, some of the enemies of Israel, you know, Ananias and Sapphira, and some of those things. But for the most part, not the one who brings death. Satan is the one that has the power of death, according to Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14. So we need to realize that the power of death is an enemy. Death is against us. But because God is who He is, and we know that He says in Romans chapter 8 that He works all things together for good for those who love Him. That means that He can even take our enemy, death, and He can turn it to an advantage for us. It can become a blessing to us. Because as long as we live on this earth, we will have trouble and sorrow and pain and suffering. But when we pass through that grave, we have the opportunity to go beyond all of those things. Oddly enough, under some circumstances, even though death was a punishment, God placed the punishment of death on the human race because of Adam and Eve's sin in the Garden of Eden. And even though it is a punishment, at times that death can be a reward. The psalmist said, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. There were some who were allowed to die. Jeroboam, even though God blessed him and allowed him to become the king of the majority of the tribes of Israel, 10 of the 12 tribes, he got to be king of them. He led them down the wrong path and he led them into sin. Later, he had a son who was ill. And it's very interesting the terminology that's used when God, through His prophet, sends the message back to tell them that that son was going to die and was going to be buried and have a funeral and so forth. That as a young child was going to die. And it's interesting that the prophet, speaking God's word, says that he did this because of all of your household, he's the only one I found something good in. I'm going to let him die. Hezekiah and even Josiah, when there were bad things coming for the children of Israel, for Judah, and yet God said to them, it won't happen in your lifetime. I'll let you die before all of these things come on your people. That's a blessing. So even though it's a punishment, God also allowed that to be a blessing from time to time for certain people. Ecclesiastes says there's a time for everything. There's a time to be born and a time to die. We celebrate birth. And we often celebrate life. And we celebrate birthdays and anniversaries and all sorts of holidays. And we celebrate living. There is one death that we celebrate. That's the death of Christ. But there's another death we need to be celebrating. That's our death to sin. We need to celebrate the time when we became a Christian, when we turned from those evil ways to God. We celebrate that death and rebirth. But as much as none of us want to go through pain and suffering at death, when you talk to people about death, you know, everybody says, "Well, you know, I don't want to suffer. You know, I want it to be quick. I want to go in my sleep, or I want it to go, you know, something quick and something painless." That's how everybody wants to die. And certainly we don't want to have pain involved in that. But we don't need to fear death if we're faithful Christians. It's just a doorway, passageway, to the next and better world where the problems of this world will fade away. If you're here and you're not a Christian, death is something you should fear. But don't let it be the kind of fear that paralyzes you to inaction. Instead, it needs to be a kind of fear that drives you to be obedient to God so that you can conquer that fear, so that you don't have to be afraid anymore. You're here and you are a Christian, but struggle with the fears of death. And I know the uncertainty, the unknown of not being sure what's that going to be like. We haven't been through it before. But trust in the Lord. Lay your cares and burdens on Him. Don't allow that fear of something that's unknown to overpower the knowledge. Probably most of you have heard Ron say this before. I know he's said it to me on several occasions when we talk about things. Don't be afraid in the dark of what God has shown you in the light. When God has told us that heaven is there, that it's better, that the problems of this life will be gone, that there's so much to look forward to, that we'll be with Jesus, that we'll be reunited with those in Christ who have gone on before, as Paul tells us. We're going to meet them in the air, and they're going to meet us, and we're going to get together again. Then don't let Satan's attempts at terrorizing you with the fear of death, don't let that sway you. We know what God said, and God is true, and He cannot lie. If you're here this morning and you have a need to respond to the invitation, we'll ask that you do so as we stand and as we sing.